Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think Tucker's going to be close to Aaron Judge money. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Highway Cantina in Edo. Even if we go down $10 million in total contract, you're looking at a $350 million deal over 9 years. $350 over nine for Kyle Tucker, because I get so annoyed with these pay-the-man people. That's a little under $39 million a year. The biggest contract the Astros have ever given out. It would be Hader, right? Abreu up until Hader. Hader was a 5-year deal at $19 million. So this would surpass this by $20 million a year and then tack on 4 more years to that. Now, position player, far more value and importance than a closer. And then they gave Jose Abreu $19.5 per year on a 3-year deal, which at the time was the biggest free agent signing that the Astros had ever given to a player. Now, you've locked up Altuve since then, face of the franchise, which he gave you a hookup on a low AAV, below market value AAV anyways. And you've had some other guys mixed in. Like Jordan Alvarez was a 6-year deal, but you kind of stole money from him because you gave him an AAV that's way undervalued. So you'd be silly not to sign that deal. I'm looking at $350 million-ish. I don't think he gets lower than $350 in total dollars. 9 years is what Judge got. Tucker's going to be younger than Judge whenever he entered free agency. Is Judge better? I think it's arguable. I think that Judge had a better year than the last two.
Yeah, but I look at it and I just say, look, when you're talking about the trade-offs between the two, I think that Tucker's a better defensive player. I think that Judge can play multiple positions. I think Tucker could if it was asked to. He doesn't need to. But I think that when you look at the two guys, the biggest thing is in the market Judge has played in, and because of the fact it's the Yankees, because of the fact that he was chasing history 1 year, and the whole world had to stop every time he took an at-bat, he's gotten more run, he's gotten more marketability and more play. But the fact is, when you just look at the numbers, Kyle Tucker, if you want to use the term poor man's Aaron Judge, but Kyle Tucker is comparable to Aaron Judge in a lot of different ways. And it's not, like I said, it's not like he doesn't deserve a big-time contract. I just don't see the Astros willing to go that far. I don't think that they're going to get near the threshold of 9 years. The money for per year in the AAV, I think that they would entertain in the right situation. They'd also probably have a situation on their hands where Jordan's going to go, well, then we need to renegotiate mine, or you need to do something for me.
Well, that doesn't happen in baseball.
And I know it doesn't happen, but he's not going to be happy. But that was him making the choice of getting paid now versus waiting until later to take care of what he needed to take care of. So that was a different situation. But you could also factor in, you got a hell of a deal and a steal on Jordan's contract. If that helps you to get Tucker signed, because you know Altuve is going to come off the books soon, and you know that Abreu's coming off the books, and you want to keep a winning roster together with other guys, you still have options.
4958, yes, normally would say no, but no injury concerns yet. Like we said about Brantley, Kyle Tucker's a professional hitter, not to mention a Gold Glover. I'll let the record show now that I'm not paying him that much money. I just don't believe in paying that much money and long-term deals to players that are in their 30s. I think you look over the history of baseball and you look at those sort of contracts, you never get the return on investment that you need. So I would be out on this, and I know that Kyle Tucker might be the best hitter in all of baseball this year and probably next year and maybe even a year or two after that. So I understand how good he is. I just philosophically do not believe in these types of contracts, no matter who the player is.
No, I'm with you in the fact that I've said from we both have been on the same page. I don't think there's any way that the Astros even come close to re-signing Kyle Tucker. I just think it goes against every principle that they've put in play in terms of how they're going to handle baseball operations, finances, contracts, length, value, overall, everything that under the sun and more. I just don't see them doing that. I see them leaving that to other teams that are more susceptible or more willing to just take the flyer, take the risk, spend the extra money, give them the extra years. Maybe desperate, maybe not, but differently run franchises than the Houston Astros. I think not that they're frugal. I think that they try to be very smart with their decisions. And this doesn't seem like one that fits into their plans.
I mean, Reggie Jackson was on record, and he's part of the Astro Parliament, saying that we don't do those long-term contracts. I mean, he was on record as saying that. Jim Crane has said they don't operate that way either. We saw the contract offer for Carlos Correa. We know that 6 years on Yordan Alvarez pre-arbitration was the longest that they went. $95 million on Josh Hader was the most that they've given to a free agent. Now, they gave more to Altuve. Does $265 for five even, or for six even get entertained? I think that they would listen to that. That's $44 million per year, $265 over six. I think that might get entertained.
I think that's in the ballpark, literally.
I think that might get entertained. Yep. Maybe you even throw out some like option years beyond that where it's less AAV. I think that would get entertained. Not sure I would do it. This guy says 4 years, $145 million. That would get laughed out of the building. Like, they're not going to do a $36 million per year, a year deal on just a four-year deal. What if Bagwell wants it? Then you have a better chance of getting it. Are there any teams that justify making those big team deals? For example, if the Phillies win a World Series with Harper? Now, you're probably playing the whole contract for maybe one or two max World Series, right? Like, somebody texted in, I'm not entertaining that with Kyle Tucker until he does well in the offseason. I'm going to assume he meant the postseason. But Aaron Judge, the year that he got his deal, he was awful in the postseason. He was 4-for-20 against the Guardians, and then when he played the Astros, Astros eliminated him that year, he was 1-for-16. So, like, the postseason, it really isn't going to factor in on what Kyle Tucker gets.
No, obviously from a fan's perspective, it's the things they're never going to forget, but then you lose sight of what it's the whole Janet Jackson thing all over again. It's what have you done for me lately at the end of the postseason if they come up short and he's a guy that didn't perform well? Well, then he's James Harden. Well, then he just can't do it in the postseason. The fact is, when you look at the regular seasons, when you look at the consistency that he's put up over the last couple of years and what he's doing this season, you have to analyze the entire package and say, dude has a ton of tools. He is extremely talented. He is going to help your baseball team. There's no question about it. What's your limitations? What's your threshold? How far are you willing to go on years and money? And then do you think you're going to get return on your investment in what you do? And you know that from the standpoint of what past precedents, they have not shown that they're willing to do even that. Six, I think that's still probably too much for them.
6950, I think the Astros would be willing to go to six. I don't know if Tucker would. Just because you sign him for 9 years doesn't mean he stays for the entire life of the contract. Trade for value after 3, 4, 5 years. Well, these type of deals usually have no trade clauses. Secondly, you're going to be – like, how many teams are going to be interested in trading for Kyle Tucker on the back half of that deal whenever his value and his production has diminished? And again, usually these deals have no trade contracts. No trade clauses, rather. So that makes it difficult. 60-30, the Astros are at a crossroads, and that's real talk. The team is on the edge of going down, and we need to trade the most valuable pieces to replenish. This team isn't winning this year, facts. I think this is more of an off-season conversation. If you feel at the end of this year that you no longer have a World Series contender, I think that's the time where you think about trading Tucker with a year left, kind of how San Diego did with Soto, where you start thinking about trading Fromber. If you make the determination, I don't think the Astros would do this, because Jim Crane has said that every year that I'm here, we're in the window. I think Jeff Bagwell is a very win-now guy. Dana Brown, like, he has his bosses that want him to win immediately. I think he's not going to sell to them, hey, guys, we need to rebuild this baseball team. So while I don't necessarily disagree with this take a whole lot, 60-30, I would say it's an off-season conversation. I would say that if you're in that spot, I don't think you're going to be able to sell it to Jim Crane and, you know, his friends. I don't think it's a terrible idea, though, in terms of, like, the long-term interest of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, no, look, I think that the other thing when I talk about past precedents is, what has the team shown you with every other situation similar to this? They're going to ride it out. They're going to believe that their team has a chance to win that year, and if they do, that they are going to just take their chances with riding it out till the end, coming to the negotiations at the end of the season, at a certain point, cutting bait and saying, we've gone as far as we can go. We appreciate the hell out of your service. Good luck to you wherever you land. And we'll do our best to try and backfill whatever we have to do to move on as well. I think that what you've seen is who they are. I think that's exactly, whether it's the Crane gang alone or if Dana Brown or James, whoever's involved, the end-all, be-all is going to be that those are the kind of deals that Jim Crane walks away from that he doesn't believe in.
0588, 343-for-7 puts him at 35 years old. It also puts him at $49 million. I think Kyle Tucker would accept that if you offered him that right now. I think he would do it. Pessimistic Chad 7 years, $280 million, ends at age 36. Where could he where he could still have that value? That's $40 million a year. I still don't think that gets it done. I don't think 280 over 7 gets it done. Maybe in the ballpark. What happens when you get all the money for Verlander off the books? Montero, we would easily have the money to pay Tucker. It is true. I mean, well, Verlander's like 25. You're not assuming the entire salary of Verlander. Montero's 11 and a half, so you're looking at $36 million there. Abreu's going to be off the books, so you're looking at another 19. That puts you at $55 million. Yeah, I mean, the Astros, if they wanted to commit all of that resources, all of those resources to then spend it on Kyle Tucker, they can. But the issue now becomes, all right, well, how are you going to fill out the rest of the roster?
Right.
Is it going to be Kyle Tucker, you know, Altuve, Yordan, and then a bunch of scrubs? Like, he would take a huge piece of the payroll. So what does the rest of the team look like if you're spending all of those resources financially on Kyle Tucker?
Right?
Like, under contract, Fromber would be gone after next year.
Verlander's
gone after next year. Lance McCullers still under contract.
Hader's still here.
Luis Garcia's still under contract. Hunter Brown. Jose Urquidy. I'm not sure when Urquidy's up. I think you might have him for one more year after Fromber's year. I mean, those are decent names. Spencer Arrighetti, if you believe in his long-term potential. But you're probably if you're going to spend $40 million on Kyle Tucker, you're filling the rest of your roster with the minor league system that isn't really that decorated, that is not ranked that high. Now, the counterpoint to that is, like, okay, well, you've brought in young players that have helped. Jeremy Pena was never a top 100 prospect. Yiner Diaz is a starting catcher in the bigs, was never a top 100 prospect. Chaz McCormick, never a top 100 prospect, has been good. Jake Myers has been good. Joey Loperfido has been good. So if you're going that route, you're probably going to be pretty star in minor leaguers.
Yeah, you're right. And you look at the competition that you're facing, too, because you're always going to be competing against the Yankees. You know, the Orioles aren't going anywhere, and they're spending more money than they have with their ownership having a reputation of not wanting to do that. There are teams within your league that are going to be more competitive because they take on these contracts like it's just another day that ends in Y, and they keep on doing what they need to do. And it's going to be tough to stay competitive if that's what you want to do and sign Kyle Tucker.
0891, heck no on the Tucker deal. And then, so since we all know we aren't signing him, can we please trade him now and grab a Hall of Prospect straight from Fromber too? I think that's a conversation you need to have in the offseason. I really do. I think it's a conversation you need to have in the offseason. I wouldn't do it now because you're still aspiring to be a playoff team. And even if you make that trade in the offseason, you're not giving up on the postseason the year after that. You're then using the resources that you have to go out to fill, you know, a stopgap or figure out what the game plan is. Just because you lose Kyle Tucker doesn't mean that you're doomed, doesn't mean that your, you know, dynasty is over. The Astros have lost plenty of great players during this dynastic run. I think that they'll still be fine after Kyle Tucker leaves. Maybe not in a better position than they were when the other guys left. But just because Tucker leaves doesn't mean that the Astros are going to be done winning. You have to make the best decision on, you know, what is in the best interest long-term of this team. The problem that I have is I don't think that the Astros really think long-term anymore. I think they look short-term now.
I think it's crazy to say that, but I think that when you look at just the everything that they've shown you and the fact that now – you don't know definitively who's in control. You don't know who's pushing the buttons. And there's certainly no belief that you have a true analytics-driven, more modern-day general manager that has the freedom to pull the trigger on moves and do the deals and run the organization the way he wants to, that everything changes in terms of how I perceive this front office to be and what they're willing to do, with the one exception, which is Jim Crane has already shown you, no matter who is working with him and for him, he's still going to have his ideas and guidelines, what he's willing. He wants big splash guys, but he wants short-term, and he's not afraid to play big money, but he ain't going farther than that.
713-780-ESPN. Would you hashtag pay the man? Also, Chaz McCormick followed me today.
Did he?
Very interesting behavior for Chazzy Fizz. Not that he followed me. That's a great idea. At Jeremy Branham on Twitter, at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok. Why in the world is Chaz following Branham? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what you need in your life? You need some SaberCats rugby. SaberCats are off to a fantastic start this year. They've won 10 of their first 11 games. They're 10-1, first place in the Western Conference. They beat Chicago on Saturday, beat them like a drum, beat them by one. The next home game is June 8th, SaberCats Stadium at 7 p.m. as they host RFC Los Angeles. We hate L.A. Bay. We hate Los Angeles, no matter what sporting field it's on. In this case, the rugby field. So make sure you get out there June 8th. Sabercats beat up on a team from L.A. June 8th is also 713 night. 713 night. They're going to be honoring H-Town with some cheap tickets. That's right. $7.13. Cheap tickets. You can get in for $7.13 in specific areas around the stadium in representation of Houston. They're taking care of you, Houston. Special guests in attendance will include Hall of Famer Calvin Murphy. That's cool. More surprises to come. Get your tickets at HoustonSabercats.com/tickets. And also listen to this offer. They're taking care of ESPN 97.5 listeners. You can get your tickets for any game in July. We'd love to see you out there for the June 8th game against RFC LA. But any game in June, the last regular season games of the season, for 20% off. Just head to the website, HoustonSabercats.com. Use promo code ESPN20 when you're checking out. Receive a 20% off discount. It's a winning team. It's a fun environment. You'll have a blast. And you can get 20% off when you use promo code ESPN20 at HoustonSabercats.com. Go get your tickets right now at HoustonSabercats.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
7032, like Tucker, dump him, hate bloated money on a few guys or one guy. I hate it too, especially in baseball, where you need a pretty complete roster. Chris and Humble, if we lose Tucker, what is his fill-in going to be? We know that Tucker is great. Great bat, great defense, great teammate. I agree with all of those things, but do you pay that guy $40 million, maybe $40 million plus over 9 years? Astros have shown that they're not willing to. The fill-in, like if you're going internally, and it's not to say that you're doing it, you know, from the inside. You know, the Astros went out and got Michael Brantley whenever they needed to fill a hole, and he was a pretty good stopgap in left field for a good amount of time. But if you're picking a guy from within, you're probably looking at either Joey Loperfido or Jacob Melton, who is a top 40 prospect now, according to ESPN. So it'd be one of those two guys.
Yeah, I think you think internally, and I think externally, you just have to try and kind of sync up who's going to be free and who might be on the market when a move like that is made. Because, like, to your point, there are going to be other guys, veteran guys, that have maybe not as good of numbers overall. And kind of I like the Michael Brantley comp because of the fact that you're going to get a guy on a shorter-term deal that probably fits exactly what you're looking for, pay him less money. Maybe the production will be a little less, but it gives you other options, and you fill that gap staying competitive. It might not be at the Kyle Tucker level for that one position, but if look at what you did when you know, with some of the other moves you made, you can better the entire nine guys on the field and the pitching staff or wherever you need to better. You might be able to better multiple positions with the money you save from Tucker, including getting a guy that puts up maybe comparable or close to comparable stats in right field,
yeah.
But maybe he upgrades another. You had the money to get another player that upgrades another position.
And maybe it's not even comparable. Maybe it's like 70% of what Tucker gets
right.
You, but maybe it's at like 20% of the cost. Like, you can find bats on the open market for, I'm not going to say like cheap.
Not cheap, but affordable,
but
for teams?
Yeah, pretty affordable. Like, I mean, Tommy Pham wasn't signed until after opening day, and he's putting up some solid numbers. Marcelo Zuna is going to be a free agent. He has almost as many home runs as Kyle Tucker does. Cody Bellinger, like, okay, we don't like him, but that was $27 million. That's $13 million less than $14, and he did it on a three-year deal that might be a one-year deal. Jorge
yep.
Soler has been injury-prone, but he signed at a $14 million AAV. So, like, you can find quality. Teoscar Hernandez was a one-year $23.5 million deal. Again, none of these guys are anywhere remotely close to Tucker, but if you can save $15 million and find a guy with 70% of the production, and then you use that money elsewhere, now does it bring up the rest of the team together? I don't know.
Just
those
think
decisions
about
that Dana Brown has to decide.
Think about the way we kind of counterpointed signing Hader for 19 a year when you said, well, you could have gotten two bullpen arms and a possible bat. That's the way you backfill it with a contract like that. If you take the money that Tucker got elsewhere and say, okay, we weren't willing to pay that, we saved that amount of money, how can we better our overall team by using that kind of money, or maybe not as much of it, but a good portion of that, to better two, three multiple positions on the roster that allow us to stay competitive.
4661, don't forget that Scrugg. Bregman will be off soon. Any chance the Astros borrow tactics from the Dodgers and defer money for Tucker? Crane doesn't seem to me to be a guy that wants to spend more money in the long run than the short term. Like, the Dodgers are going to ultimately spend more money long term on the Shohei Ohtani deal. So I don't see Crane doing that. And then Springer, Correa, both painful to see go, but both were smart moves, and the stats show it. That's kind of where I'm at. All right, so yep. Chaz, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's exactly what we've been saying. That's what – it's not popular at the time, but when you look at the term return on investment and you look at how it's settled down and how it's played out, they made the right moves.
Chaz McCormick started following me today at noon today. At noon today. What were the Astros doing at noon today?
Did they start at 1?
They started at 1. First pitch, 1:10.
So he was on the field stretching.
No, he's probably in the clubhouse.
Or in his locker.
He's probably in the clubhouse. So Chaz McCormick started following me at noon today. I'm pretty sure this is the real Chaz McCormick, right? At Chazzy Fizz. Like, I think it's him. You know, 295 people he's following. He has almost 20,000 followers. Like, I think that's the real Chaz McCormick.
Seems like
and
it.
And he's like, tagged on this name by, like, by a cardiac arrest. So I'm pretty confident that this is Chaz McCormick. It's interesting to me that he spells his name Chaz, C-H-A-Z, instead of Chaz, C-H-A-S. That kind of throws me for a loop. But they tag him on all of the Astro-related stuff.
So the correct spelling is A-S?
Yeah, it's Chaz.
Right.
It's A-S. But he goes by C. Yeah, it says on his baseball reference that his Twitter is at Chazzy Fizz. Let's see if I click that, if it's the same guy. Yeah, that's his.
No, it's not.
Well, this is the wrong one.
Well, one of them's wrong.
Yeah, I think the baseball reference got it wrong. So anyways, maybe the real Chaz McCormick.
That's
I'm
right.
Pretty confident that it is the real Chaz McCormick. Pretty confident that it is. I'm like 90% confident it's the real Chaz McCormick. He started following me at noon today when the Astros were in the clubhouse, probably after BP, getting loose, et cetera, et cetera. He liked a tweet that I sent at 12:05, or that he liked a tweet at 12:05 of us playing golf yesterday. Yesterday I had some not so kind things to say about Chaz McCormick. They weren't that bad. Like, as much as I talk crap, this was actually pretty tame.
On the show or on Twitter?
On Twitter. Okay. I tweeted some things last night with Chaz McCormick. I said that Chaz McCormick does not look 100%, which I don't think he looks 100%. He's kind of like walking gingerly and he's limping around. I said that they should have waited a day to bring Chaz McCormick up because I would have rather have seen him against a lefty than a righty like he was facing yesterday. And I also said that he played the ball off the wall yesterday, maybe the worst I've ever seen a ball played off the wall.
By him and Pena had to get?
Yeah, that led to a triple off the wall, like, and a run scored. If you play that well, you could probably hold the runner at second if you play that well. And he played it about as bad as you could possibly play it. So I said a couple of negative things about Chaz McCormick yesterday. I don't think it was too negative, though. I don't think that was too crazy for things that I say. Chaz McCormick followed me today at noon. What is going on? Why is Chaz McCormick following Branham?
So wait a minute. So I think you know the reason why. You just explained
Because I said some negative things about him.
And now let's think about this. Do you think that Chaz runs his own Twitter?
This guy says the real Chaz has 44,000 followers. Send me his real Twitter.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I think this is the real Twitter. Like, if you type in this name and you just search it, like, 790 has his, like, tags him in things.
For hypothetical for this situation.
Look at that. Look, they tag him in these videos.
The one that you got followed by?
Yeah, that name. Look,
okay.
Ken Rosenthal interviews this guy. I'm pretty sure this is the real Chaz. Like,
okay.
He's tagged in all of the. Look, how many times 790 tags him? I think it's the real one.
It looks like it. So the reason why I asked the question is because
Shin
we know.
Shin tagged him. Shin.
We know his brother has gotten involved in the past. Maybe he's employing his brother, and his brother runs his Twitter account. We know that his brother gets extremely defensive. His brother likes to keep his finger on the pulse of what's being said in any way, shape, or form about Chaz. Possible?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe it's not the real Chaz, and they're just mad at me because, like, it's confusing to me.
Astros fans getting mad at you over something that you may have tweeted?
Yeah, so now I'm trying to determine if it's the real Chaz. Is this the real Chaz? 713-780-3776. Or am I being... Look, I mean, all of these tweets have this handle.
Is it possible that the companies that you're referring to that have tagged them on all these things
got
it right? Yeah.
I don't think that iHeart would get it wrong. I don't think the Shin would get it wrong. Do you?
They shouldn't.
Corpus Christi. Look, I mean, they say, "Hey, Chazzy Fizz, the guy that followed me." Like, Corpus Christi's not getting this wrong, right?
They shouldn't.
Like, yeah, I think it's the real one.
I mean,
but look. Why is he so, like, I honestly, I don't like this, though. If it is the real one, and I'm 10% sure, I'm not sure. 10% of me is not sure, 90% of me is sure. If this is the real one, this is weird behavior by a professional athlete.
But it's not unprecedented.
No, it's not unprecedented.
Yeah, I think that guys have guys, and guys also, look at Kevin Durant. Guys are sensitive, and they want to know. Some guys always say, I don't want to know anybody's saying. That's why I stay off of Twitter. That's why I do all this. That's why I do that. Kevin Durant's the opposite. He gets burner accounts. He listens and hears and knows of everything and wants to know everything being said about him. He goes at people in the media that say things that he doesn't like, whether true or not, about him. And other people employ people just to monitor and tweet from their Twitter account and do things too. So I think it's possible.
This is the real Chess. I mean, he's been tagged by Space City. He's been tagged by Corpus Christi. He's been tagged by those are the only two. I was going to see if there's an Astros tag here. Like, and it pulls up the guy that follows me. It says follows you. This is the real Chess McCormick. The real Chess McCormick, while he was sitting in the Minute Maid clubhouse today, followed Jeremy Branham on Twitter. Because I said a couple of negative things about him that were honestly tame. I said he's not 100%. He's not. He's limping around on a hamstring because he's trying to get his job back. And then
everybody else was hitting.
And I said that he misplayed a ball off the wall, in which he did.
He did.
Both things were true. And then this chat. And I like Chaz McCormick. I think he should be in the lineup every day against left-handed pitching at minimum. Very, you know, thankful for the catch that he made against Philadelphia. He had a great year last year. I'm not anti-Chaz McCormick. I pointed out two things yesterday that I noticed. Doesn't look healthy. He doesn't.
Hey.
And that he misplayed a ball off the wall, and he starts following me and passive-aggressively likes a tweet that I sent. This is weird.
Don't worry about it. Don't apologize for it.
Well,
because
I didn't apologize for it.
You're an influencer, and you have influenced someone indirectly, that now is following you because of the fact that they see and hear what you do. That's a good thing.
And look, he only follows 295 people. Like, I'm one of 295 people that a professional athlete follows.
The proud.
Yeah.
The influencer.
I hope he follows me on TikTok as well, at Jeremy J. Branham. But, yeah, this is the second Houston athlete that I've made mad. Titus Howard and Chaz McCormick now.
Tunsil never got involved?
Tunsil said some, like, he, like, joked around about it.
Okay.
But, yeah, maybe I made him mad, and his way of joking around about it was that. I don't know. He said the text line's backing me up. They're saying, you are correct. It is him. This guy says you've been catfished. I wasn't catfished. I go copy and paste his name, put it into Twitter search, and he's being tagged by Space City, like, recently. He was literally tagged by Corpus Christi on the assignment.
Yeah, yep.
A couple, there's only, the real one is Chaz McCormick. I don't think so. I don't think so. Bregman clapped back at A.J. Hoffman years ago on Twitter.
Oh, God, did he?
What happened there?
AJ said that Bregman should have been the centerpiece of a trade to get Chris Sale, and kept saying, you know, the fact that you don't know what Bregman's going to be, and that you need to actually prospects that as high as they're rated fall off the planet, and Sale's the kind of guy that you could bank on for years and years to come. And he obviously
trade one,
and then Bregman jumped in.
What did he say? What, do you remember?
I forget, but he did tweet him, and he got involved.
I've heard Bregman can be kind of sensitive. This is the real Chaz McCormick. Like, people said it was the real Chaz is spelled with an S. His real name is, but his Twitter handle is with a Z. Like, it comes up on everything. Like, this isn't this. I'm now 99% sure this is the real Chaz McCormick. I went from 90 to 99. If it was fake, I would admit that I got God. I've got God all the time. I've heard that Bregman does like to get go at people.
He's Kevin Durantish.
I've heard that he tends to do that.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've heard he tends to do that.
Doesn't surprise me.
Sometimes with people who own businesses and stuff like that.
Salsa?
No. He went at a business owner.
I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about.
They were critical.
We're kind of in the neighborhood.
713-780-ESPN-HRMP listener line. You know how I know DeMeco Ryans has great culture within the Houston Texans? I'll tell you whenever we come back. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live. On ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 from Highway Cantina in Edo.
Guys, right now a moment for Allstate Siding and Windows. Allstate and Siding and Windows, they're the best in the business at exactly what's in their name, siding and windows. Been in business for almost 50 years, and the fact of the matter is, all through that time they've been taking care of Houstonians, supporting and loving Houston sports teams, and supporting ESPN 97.5. That's why if they're in our family, we want them to take care of yours. And in order to do that, that means you got to call them whenever you want to protect your biggest investment, that being your house. You want to put a hard shell around it? Look at the siding options because you don't have to paint it anymore. It's going to be that hard, protective, against the elements kind of material that you're looking for in hurricane season, when it's hot, when it's cold, and in all of the in-between. And the fact is, with the windows like I just put in my house, it unbelievably upgrades the overall look and curb appeal of your house. Fantastic modern look on the windows. But then you know you could save up to 40% on your energy bills. And you know the fact is that they are going to make sure that they keep the cool in the summer. They keep the heat in the winter. And they are durable, strong, and tough in hurricane season. I'm telling you right now, they've always got deals going on. But the way the process starts is you've got to call them and get your free, no obligation estimate. They're going to come out and they're going to look at your house. They're going to tell you between the windows, the siding, maybe a package for both, how they can help, what they recommend, and what your house in the current state that it's in could use most. That's fantastic because that's the way they do business. Call them right now, 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, where you can currently get 30% off all the windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. You get that free home estimate no matter what. And they have discounts all the time. Responders, military, senior citizens, you name it. They are looking to take care of Houstonians. But the best way they do that is by doing great work with quality products. Also, go online and check them out right now. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highway Cantina. Drinks are fantastic. The food is delicious. How did you like yours?
Quesadillas, absolutely. You know, that's one of my barometers. Quesadillas were outstanding. Love it. Got them last time, got them this time. The fajitas are fantastic, too. But I don't think there's much you can miss on if you come here to Highway Cantina.
Did you? What did they say when you asked for ketchup?
They said that, how much do I want? And I said, you know what? On second thought, they're so delicious, I don't need it.
Honey Glaze Branham, hey, J-Bone, don't you think maybe Chaz actually listens to local sports talk radio? You are taking it all wrong. You should be honored to use your platform to convey messages to him. That's one of Honey Glaze Branham's better texts. He usually is a poor texter. Usually a very poor texter. But that's one of your
An
better
An hour
ones.
Before game time, I don't think he's listening, but okay.
The timing's what screws that up. The timing's what screws that logic up. I think he saw – there's two things that happen. Either, like, his timeline's full of Chaz McCormick things. His timeline's full of Chaz McCormick things, so he sees, like, when his name comes up, and he's like, oh, this guy's being negative to me. I'm gonna follow him and be like, hey, stop being negative. I'm going to monitor him. Or somebody tipped him off that I was being negative. A lot of people think that Tytus Howard was tipped off whenever I was being negative of him.
His brother?
No, not Tytus Howard.
I'm saying in the case of Chaz McCormick, yeah. It could be his brother.
Some people were saying that Tytus Howard was tipped off by a local journalist whenever Tytus Howard got mad at me.
Huh.
Yeah, they're saying that I got ratted out by a local journalist, what some people were saying. 1711, change your profile pic to banana pudding, the good stuff with the wafers. I might just do that Bluebell banana pudding ice cream.
That BMAC was talking about?
Yeah, I want to get some of that. It looks delicious. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do you know how I know that DeMeco Ryans has great culture on the Houston Texans? Did you see what Steven Nelson called DeMeco on Instagram the other day?
Yeah, he went off.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that in 2024, being a half-white, half-Mexican man.
I'd say you go for it.
No.
After our conversation on the golf course yesterday, I say you aim high, let it fly, and just see what happens.
If you don't know what
Chaz McCormick's brother might get you in trouble.
Yeah, I don't want to be canceled. If you want to know what Steven Nelson social media'd DeMeco Ryans, what he called him on social media, just Google it. Steven Nelson, DeMeco Ryans will come up. And there's a very specific candy that was involved. It's amazing to me, and this is why I know DeMeco has a good culture. Steven Nelson went from making fun of his general manager because he was not pleased with his contract to talking bad about his head coach on social media, who everybody has great things to say about DeMeco Ryans. Who says negative things about DeMeco? Like, how often do you see negativity being mentioned around DeMeco Ryans? Never. Rarely ever do you see
this. You ask the question, I'm thinking, as a player, as a coach, as an assistant coach, like, who normally, if a guy played for you, and then they went somewhere else, whether it be as a D coordinator or otherwise, they'd wait till they moved on to another place, and then they'd go at him. But you would hear it. We haven't heard anything.
Yeah, that's what's interesting to me is, like, if you look at this timeline, you've had in the offseason, Steven Nelson was making fun of his general manager by posting vest on Instagram. And then you go to early, like, over the weekend, where Steven Nelson is calling D'Amico Ryan's head a piece of candy. You can use your imagination on which piece of candy. And in the middle of all of that, in the middle of those timelines, he was a really productive football player for you that was actually a captain. So how did D'Amico Ryans get the most out of Steven Nelson? How did the Texans get the most out of final year Steven Nelson? Well, they gave him a little bump in salary to put a smile on his face. Then you give him a little bit of stock in the company. That way he's really invested, and you get the most out of the player. All, and I guarantee you, that when Caserio, like, they didn't extend him. Why didn't they extend him? They don't trust him. They don't believe in him. So you give him a little bit of money, make him happier. Why did they make him a captain? I don't think they made him a captain, actually, because he's a leader. I think they made him a captain. That way he had stock in the company, who produced a little bit better. So you had D'Amico Ryans, that got the most out of a disgruntled Steven Nelson, who seems like he lives his life disgruntled, for one final year. Like, they're getting the most out of their players, even whenever they really don't like the player.
They made Brandon Cooks a captain.
That was before D'Amico.
Right, but Caserio was here.
Right, but this is D'Amico's culture.
That's true.
Like, the culture is far different with D'Amico and Lovey and Cully.
I think both of them knew he wasn't in the long-term plans, but they knew in the short term he was their best option opposite Stingley for that season.
Yeah.
And they were going to do little things to appease him. It'll be interesting how they handle Diggs, because Diggs has the...
I think we've already seen it. I think we've already seen it, actually.
With the eliminating of the second year.
How can we get the most out of a player in the 1 year that they're here? For Steven Nelson, they give him a little bit of bump of pay. They make him a captain. How can we get the most out of Stephon Diggs for 1 year? Well, you give him the contract that he wants, and you make him go prove another contract on the football field. I think that they're kind of similar in terms of the philosophy and the psychology of getting the most out of a player.
You give him his free agency a year earlier so that he can truly go get what he's worth.
It's his carrot.
But to do that, he's got to do what he needs to do for you for that year. If he gets a C on his chest before the season starts, look the hell out.
Maybe.
Because it's a possibility.
Maybe. So it's cool to see this. Like, okay, well, you have this player that was never in the plans, and they get the most out of that player for the one single year that he's here. And who cares that you gave him a $2 million bump? Like, you still have the salary cap. It didn't prevent you from going to get somebody else. And then, like, who cares about the C on the lapel? Who cares about that on the shoulder pad? Like, you really know who your leaders are even without that C in the locker room, and who to, you know, rally around, and who's going to guide you. So it's really, it could be an empty C. It can be an empty C on the shoulder pad of Steven Nelson. So I love what this shows for the culture point of view. I love what this shows in terms of D'Amico getting the most out of his players, even whenever, you know, maybe they don't like that player a whole lot. And then on the other front, the Steven Nelson front, why isn't Steven Nelson signed? Oh, I just can't figure it out. This player that bashes his general manager, that bashes his head coach while he's still a free agent. I can't imagine why nobody has signed Steven Nelson yet.
I mean, look, again, not a smart move from his perspective because of the fact that he still was trying to get another contract, because he actually was trying to get an extension and more money here first when he did the best things with Caserio. Not great moves by Steven Nelson, but I like the way the Texans have handled it. Look, to the points you were making too, the fact of the matter is I've heard from many veteran players, and I know that there's others out there that have commented nationally that have said, I hate Bill Belichick. I hated everything about him, but I knew that as a head coach, he knew what he was doing. As a general manager, he knew what he was doing. I had a great chance to win there, and that's what I wanted to do in my career. So nothing else matters. That's what I did. And I think even if it comes down to that's who Caserio and D'Amico are at the end of the day, so be it.
Yeah.
And for the record, I don't expect, especially D'Amico, is not going to end up being a Belichick type, but I do believe that he's going to hold people accountable, and he's going to expect certain things of players, and if they don't do it, there will be consequences.
Yeah, I mean, it's a respect thing with more with Belichick, and I think D'Amico carries the same amount of respect. It's just that I think he's more universally liked than Bill Belichick. Not to say he's not tough and he's not demanding. I just think he's got a little bit more personality, per se. But it's wild to me. It's wild to me that Steven Nelson's timeline in his final year of a Texan is incredible. Sweater vest on social media. You get it bumped in salary. You're a captain. You play pretty well.
Yep.
You go to free agency thinking that you're probably going to make pretty good money. You bash your previous head coach, and you're still unsigned on May 22nd. That's a wild story. It is a wild. And if it was anybody greater than Steven Nelson, like if this was Derek Stingley or if this was Sauce Gardner, this would be all over headlines nationally.
But I also think that's part of it, too, that people go, that people on the inside and people close to football know this is more like what he's been during his career that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
So you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. And but it's interesting, too, how they went about it. Like instead of, okay, you're off the team or you're just going to keep you disgruntled, we're going to give you a little bit of a raise. We're going to give you a little bit of company stock and then see how that turns out. And he was actually pretty good for you. I mean, he played opposite of Stingley on a playoff team that won a playoff game. So it makes me a little bit more bullish about culture and D'Amico Ryan's getting the most, absolute most he can out of players on his team. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. What is your car wreck of the day? What are you nominating for today's car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highway Cantina on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for the good people at X Golf and Katy. Go get online and check out X Golf Katy right now, because the only X Golf golf simulators in the Houston area are at X Golf Katy. If you're a golfer, if you love to kind of tune your game and you love to play golf even when it's dark outside or the weather doesn't look like it's going to permit for a tee time, you go to X Golf Katy because they have the best, most accurate golf simulators I've ever been on. Even the putting, even the chipping. I mean it. It's not those gimmicky putting things where you just don't putt or chip. It's awesome. And you can even play your own golf ball and load your own golf balls up in the simulator. But every shot is going to calculate distance and spin and direction. You can use it like a driving range to tune in your game. Or you can play up to 50 courses worldwide and have a great time doing it. And the best thing about it, you and your buddies can play a round of golf in a quarter of the time. Because you're not driving your carts or walking to your shots and waiting for other groups on holes. You are just getting shot after shot, taking turns, almost like bowling. And in an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half, you're done with a full 18 holes of golf. And you've taken every swing just like you would outside. And the best part about it is, after you're done, it's like the best sports bar meets the best golf range. Because of the fact that they have great food, great beverages, tons of TVs, and they're a sports bar as well as a golf sim place. It's phenomenal. Chris does a great job. He's got an on-site golf pro that can give you lessons and give you pointers, too, if you'd like to go that route. But if you're a golfer, go there once. You'll be there all the time because you know it's a great place to hone in on your game. Check him out today, X-Golf Katy. Get online and look him up.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are we nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Thanks so much to Highway Cantina for having us out. Great spot right here in Edo, a walking distance from the soccer stadium. Probably can walk to Minute Maid if you're not lazy bones. So great spot before the game, great spot after the game, great spot always. Fantastic food, fantastic drink. Make sure you're at Highway Cantina the next time you're in Edo. All right, what's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Let's start with you.
I'm going to start right away with a game that a lot of people probably didn't see if they were dialed in on that Astros game last night, and that is the Indiana Pacers as they completely threw up all over themselves down the stretch in a game that would have been essential to winning the series against the Boston Celtics. Game one in the Garden, you're up three, two different occasions, inside of 25 seconds. You not only don't get a shot off or get to the free throw line, but you throw up all over yourself. The second one, you give up a chance, you give the ball back to the Celtics, then you don't foul. They hit a three, they force overtime, and you lose the game. On top of that, your best player, Halliburton, on two separate occasions, with little to no pressure defensively, dribbled the ball off of his foot out of bounds or turned it over. Those are things that can't happen when you are trying to chase a championship in the second round of the play or in the Eastern Conference Finals. You just can't do those things. I know Rick Carlisle came out after the game and said, my bad, it was my fault. I didn't call a timeout and advance the ball. But just like we talked about with Espada and the Astros, you could have called that timeout, but your players play the game. they did not execute and play the game the right way down the stretch.
Yeah, that was a that was him having the back of his team.
Yep.
He didn't believe that. He didn't believe that whenever he's talking to them after the game. He had the team's back. That final inbound was with less than 10 seconds
less than
left.
10, 8.5.
Just inbound the basketball and you probably win the game. And on top of that, 21 turnovers. 21 turnovers in that game for the Pacers. You can't win.
I've seen Halliburton do that throughout, even in the Knicks series, where he's had a big game leading into the fourth quarter, and then inexplicably in the last 2 minutes, he just coughs it up and dribbles it off his foot or loses control of a basketball. And you just can't have your best players who are being counted on to do those things.
I really wanted to nominate Hunter Brown because I thought Hunter Brown, that fifth inning where he walks the 8-hole and then he gives up a home run to the 9-hole and a 3-2 count after he was ahead of the count 1-2. I thought that was poor. But 6 innings, 2 runs from Hunter Brown's, that's good. So I'm okay with the total line score. I just hate that two-batter sequence.
Okay, let's nominate Mauricio Dubon.
Well, that's a good call. I hadn't thought about that. Dubon getting thrown out at third base for the first out of the inning, representing the tying run late in the game. That's a good one. I was also just going to nominate the entire Astros offense. You scored 1 run in the series finale against a bad pitcher. A team that had, I think the Angels had three hits in this game tonight. A team that had three hits beat you.
Wait,
beat
in the whole game?
The Angels had 3 hits.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
They scored 2 runs on 3 hits.
Well, and let's keep going then, because we like to pile on when they deserve it. The 8 and 9 hitters, you walk one, you give up a bomb to another because you went from an 0-2 count to a 3-2 count, and you're all season long. It's just a microcosm of the season. You can't get the 9-hitter out. And the 9-hitter looks like whoever the 9-hitter is in every lineup he faces an all-star.
It's weird. Like the it's been a problem for all of the Astros.
Bring back the batter's out.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad. But yeah, you lost to a team who had 3 hits on you. Alex says that his car wreck of the day is BMAC for not showing up. It says soft, and then he said XOXO Alex. So Brian's catching some strays on days where he is doing another
job.
It's
okay. Alex's number one target when we talk about crosshairs is the producer of the Killer Bees.
That's true.
He went after Joe, and he goes after BMAC with the same kind of venom.
Somebody actually did nominate Joe. Car wreck of the day, Joe George, for giving you guys a hard time yesterday for being late to your show. Does he not understand that golf has no time limits? On top of that, he needs to show the talent some respect. You guys came in and didn't miss a beat. Honey Glaze Branham.
Facts. Now there's 2 in a row good ones from Honey Glaze Branham today.
Joe didn't tell me I was engineering today and tomorrow.
I heard you when you brought. I was like, ooh, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I found out in the email that I was engineering. Not an email to me, company-wide email that's just in a tab on a spreadsheet. Didn't even tell me. And whenever he asked me to do it the first time, he said it's only a one-time thing. Well, it's twice this week.
But the good thing is we're not in a communications business where communication is paramount.
Exactly. 5010 car wreck of the day. Ex-coworker once ate my last piece of candy. It was a Milk Dud. Head over heels mad about it. I don't blame you.
Interesting choice of candy.
Milk Duds are very good. Still a Halloween.
I did not know that they were still a thing. I just asked you in the break.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in a long time.
It's probably one of the more popular Halloween candies.
In the little box?
Yeah, this little box, little yellow box. It's probably up there with like Whoppers and Tootsie Rolls.
I hate Whoppers.
I like Whoppers. I don't like Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, and my wife loves the Tootsie Rolls.
Really?
Yeah, I can't stand Whoppers. I don't like that the center.
It's called maybe a wafer.
It's
vanilla. It's like a wafer finish.
I thought it was like Whoppers are like a milk something.
I think it's like a milk wafer.
Yeah, it's I don't like it at all.
I love those.
Really?
It's like a malt in a candy ball. What's in the middle of a Whopper? Yeah, I love them a lot. They're very good.
Okay.
Yeah, crunchy malted milk center.
Malted milk. Yep.
Malted milk. You don't like malted milk?
The generic form of Whoppers is a malted milk ball.
You growing up in the Midwest, I figured you would love malts.
Malts are way better than and different than malted milk balls.
I love malts. 5798 nominating Alex Bregman for car wreck of the day for going 0 for the series against the Halos.
Fair. Absolutely fair. Hitting in the 4-hole.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't be in the cleanup spot anymore. They need to move him out of there again. Like the Astros open up against Oakland on Friday. Alex Bregman cannot be your cleanup man anymore.
Nope.
He's got to be out of there.
He's got to be able to accept it and realize you're not hitting like you were on the road trip. You're not hitting at all. And this team needs to make sure they capitalize on every offensive at-bat right now because they're still chasing too much.
3338, car wreck of the day, Alex Bregman for basically hitting like Abreu lately. It's a good call. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to A-Rod.
Jeremy Brandon for doing the hard work.
Yeah, A-Rod for producing back at Gal, Branham for on-site engineering. Blankers, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. We're going to be at Texas Star Grill Shop. Get out there, buy a grill. Buy a grill while you're out there. We're going to be out there tomorrow. Swing on by, say hello, buy yourself a grill. All right, thanks again to Highway Cantina. We're out of here. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.